tweet at TodaySOR.
Brian O'Connell is with me now. Brian, you're going to talk to me about one of the country's best known sporting and academic secondary schools that recently had racked up 150 years in existence. We're talking about a place in Longford called
St. Mel's College in Longford. The plans were brought forward in the 1830s. It wasn't until a bishop named John Kilduff, he's responsible for the cathedral as well, he came on the scene and really became the driving force for this college, which opened in September 1865, began Sean with 48 boarders and 25 day pupils. So a century and a half of tradition there, of sporting and academic tradition. And I suppose it's like one of these colleges along the lines of Jarlett's in Tuam, you've St. Flannan's in Ennis, Coleman's in Cork,
Nathie's in Ballyhadreen.
Yeah, and probably the Mon as well. You could throw that one into the mix. And there haven't been many boarders. I think in about 15 years in St. Mel's there haven't been boarders again, like Flannan's as well. The routine though for boarders who are there: up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you had morning prayers, then you have mass, then breakfast, half an hour off, then you'd have class from 10 until 12, a little bit of playtime for a half an hour, and classes for two more hours. Every evening at 6:45, you had the rosary and night prayers then before bed each night. I mean, I'm thinking of my own teenage son. If I tried to get him into routine anywhere like that, it'd be nigh on impossible. So to mark the 150th anniversary of the book, a new book has just been launched entitled Selected Memories. It's written by Dennis Glennon, and not just a history of the college, but it's something of a social history of the time as well. Now, I met with some well-known past pupils as well as the book's author, and I took a stroll first with the current principal, who's Declan Rowley. Declan was a student in St. Mel's from 1976 to 1982. He's been principal there for the last 4 years. Now, you can hear in the background here, actually, when I visited, there was a fairly lively game of football going on between staff and students.
You can probably hear a little bit of extra background noise here. Actually, what's happening today is the senior students run a soccer tournament, and the winners of that soccer tournament get the chance to take on the teachers. You can imagine.
Is this like the prisoners versus the warden?
A bit like that, all right. So every time you hear a major noise, it's probably a teacher falling, being nutmegged. And the students are reveling in this. The ones that are playing are reveling, but also the ones that are watching are waiting for the big hits. Basically, we're at the front of St. Mel's now. On this side here, you can see Bishop Kilduff. So we're going into the old school, right from the late 1920s. Cricket actually was the main game here up to the 1920s. And then when Gaelic football arrived, then we sort of started dominating the Leinster area, and we were Leinster champions on 29 different occasions. So Mel's would have competed in 4 All-Ireland finals in a row. That picture there is the 1963 team.
Tell me about the school today. How many pupils?
Yeah, we have 500 boys now. We would have maybe 29 different nationalities in the school. Where I suppose when I went to school here, there was probably one nationality, Irish, and that was it. There was nobody else. So, and that's healthy because, you know, our students then travel the world. So they've sort of met with a lot of that before they leave at all. We've just one priest here, a chaplain in the school. He's out there on the soccer pitch playing against the boys at the moment. And that's the only really religious input to the school now. The bishop, obviously, is our patron, Bishop Francis Duffy. But apart from that, like, so there's huge sea change there, really. If, you know, myself and Mr. Glennon, and we're two of the first 3 lay principals, and we're former pupils as well.
You can see it's just mirrored what's happened in wider society, hasn't it?
Society has changed, and as a result, I think schools reflect society very quickly because they're coming from society. And it's the same thing, I suppose, in relation to modern ills of society too, that we get them all in the school and we must deal with them.
Is there a kind of a misnomer that says it's more difficult to be a teenager today in the era of social media than it was 15 or 20 years ago?
Yeah, sometimes I think maybe that we as adults make it more difficult for students. We as parents don't let our kids fall anymore. We sort of cushion them and we rear them in bubbles and we make sure they don't end up hitting obstacles. And sometimes they have to hit obstacles.
The helicopter parents, to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we don't do them favours. We must let them... There's life skills out there, and when they fail, you know. And sometimes you have to take rejection and you have to take defeat and you have to get up and go again. And I think that's the strength of an individual.
Some good pointers by Declan Rowley there, the principal. Declan, people might know, won a Leinster with St. Mel's in 82. He played with Longford himself and he managed both Leitrim and the Longford senior football teams. And by the way, Sean, the students beat the teachers 2-1 and the teachers had 2 county footballers in the team.
Well, now, no excuse then. Another past pupil, well-known in political circles, Fine Gael circles, former TD, Lewis Belton.
A former pupil, he entered in 1956, did his Leaving Cert in 1961, and he comes, as you said, from a well-known political family going back decades. He was actually a boarder at St. Mel's, and he told me first about how boarders had very little back home in his day.
There was no weekends, no Halloween, no midterm breaks, nothing like that. Once you were locked up from September to Christmas. The first year was quite an experience, all right.
What was the ethos like?
I suppose one would have to say, without fear of contradiction, that it was very enclosed. Newspapers were banned at the time. We didn't have any radios as well. During my time, I think before we left, we were allowed to listen to the radio in the study halls on a Sunday. So that was a big thing. We didn't have any lay teachers at all.
You went on then to have a career in politics.
Yeah, well, after I spent some time in England, and then I came back and I got involved in local politics and then in national politics. I went for the Dáil in Longford Westmeath in 1989. I got elected first time out. Of course, politics in Longford at that time was a serious business. We had the late Albert Rennes was here, and he was a formidable opponent. He became Taoiseach then.
What do you make of the new politics? Would you like to be up there in the thick of it now?
Gareth Fitzgerald, when he was Taoiseach, he wasn't a great man for the hurling. And it was a kind of pre the time that they started wearing the helmet. This particular All-Ireland final, Gareth, of course, was on the Hogan stand watching the match. There was bandages going on heads anyway. And when the match was over, Gareth, he told his story himself. Gareth got downstairs to the car as quick as possible, and he was ambushed by the media as he was getting into the car. And they wanted to know, did he enjoy the game? And he said, yeah, he found it interesting. Then they wanted to know, did he ever play hurling? And he said, no, he played a bit of cricket in his earlier days. And then they said to him, would you like to have been out there today with a hurley in your hand? And he looked at them in amazement and he said, I wouldn't like to be out there without one. If you're asking me, would I like to be in politics nowadays? It's different. It's different. But now, that's all I'm going to talk about.
It'd be very unfair of me to ask you Leo or Simon.
Certainly haven't thought about that.
Argoway or that.
I'll consider that. When the exam paper is put in front of me, I'll mark it.
He hasn't lost it. Tells him so well. That's Lewis Belton, Brian. Now, you met the author, obviously, as well. Selected Memories, St. Mel's College, 1865 to 2015.
Yes, and just as a footnote, there were a number of past pupils who went on to have political careers. The late John Wilson from Cavan, others such as Luke Belton, and then Rory O'Brodrick. But finally, as you said, I did meet the writer of the book, Dennis Glennon. He himself, he's a past pupil. He was the first lay principal of St. Mel's. And he began by telling me about another past pupil, John Layden, who became integral in another government.
He actually joined the civil service and he was in the War Office in London, and he came back in the 20s after the Free State government was set up, and he became probably the main civil servant at the back of Sean Le Mas's great success down the years. He was at the founding of a lot of the great companies in Ireland, and he worked very much discreetly in the background, but he was somebody said about him that without Layden, Sean Le Mas wouldn't have been the man he was. Yeah.
You saw over that time, both as a student and then later as a teacher and as a principal, how students have changed. There are a whole range of nationalities here now that weren't here when you were here. So how have students changed?
Well, I think the first thing that I would know is in the past when I was a student, I mean, I suppose the culture was a much more restricted one. So effectively, there was a set of rules and you follow them and that was it. And there was only one set of rules. There weren't many set of rules. There weren't things like choices and all of those things. So that was the kind of world that we would have grown up in. The catchment area was, as it was, Longford, Leitrim, Cavan, Westmeath, Offaly, some of Roscommon, and a few other places. Today, it's Poland, it's Latvia, Lithuania, Nigeria. So just a dramatic change. But who could have foreseen these sort of things? I mean, go back in time, who could have foreseen children going to school with phones in their bags? It's very difficult to look into the future and have any idea of what it's going to be like.
Despite all those social changes over the last 150 years, has the atmosphere or the ethos, if you like, of the school, is there something that's remained constant?
Yes, I think the sense of belonging to St. Mel's College is still very strong. And I suppose that's the same in other schools where people have this kind of a strange loyalty. I think the 1916 commemoration has generated a huge interest in the whole history of the school. Mm. Just hope that it appropriately celebrates the 150th anniversary.
So, Brian, that is Dennis there, Dennis Lennon, former principal, the first lay principal of the school. Thanks, Anita, for that. And thank you for going along to St. Mel's and hearing about that new book, Selected Memories,